Now, John chapter 4. But in John 3 and John 4, we may see the consummate skill of Jesus preaching the gospel to two completely different sorts of persons. The one was expert in knowledge. The one was brash to a certain point, but on the other hand was a bit scared to come and be seen to be talking to Jesus. But before long, Jesus had him interested. And here was a woman who didn't know a proper religion. You can read in the Old Testament how in the days of the exile, the kings sent from Babylon, from various towns, cities, people to live in Samaria. And when it was that the Lord sent lions amongst them, they assumed that it must be because they'd upset the God of the land. So they sent priests to teach them the way of the Old Testament. So what did they do? We're told they kept the worship that they wanted and had always known and added to it the worship of God as the Old Testament did. So of course they had a proper mismatch. And this was the religion that she knew, this woman who came. But she was a woman who was, if you like, a guilty woman, and a woman who had her guilt and was perhaps ostracized, and that's why she came alone at midday. Jesus had to go through Samaria, and he had to go through Samaria because he knew that one of his people who would be saved would be there, and so he met up with her. Now, the verses in which I particularly want to draw your attention to are the verses 23 through to 26. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wonderful words. Oh, but didn't it take a lot of getting her there? Excuse after excuse, objection after objection. And how wonderfully Jesus feeds her new information and gets her soul longing, like he did with Nicodemus, to have the things that he was talking about. Well, we find Jesus, who needs must go through Samaria, wearied, tired. So here is a tired man showing his humility, though he is God. And he asks help from a woman. That's a key. I learned very early in my ministry that the best way to get people to appreciate your ministry was to get them to do things for you. It's strange, isn't it? But it's true. And by this simple act, Jesus won her heart. He said to her, in a nice way, the language doesn't quite show the niceness of it, give me some drink. She'd come to draw water. And he says, give me some drink. And the woman is absolutely amazed. The barriers have gone down that they've been for centuries. I'm a woman, and I'm a woman of Samaria, and the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Say nothing of women. And in one moment, he put all that down. Give me some water to drink. The woman is stimulated, you see. The woman is intrigued. And then Jesus feeds her more information. Now, if thou knewest the gift of God. See, that's information she didn't know. It hadn't been mentioned before. He's introducing a new thing for her. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. She still doesn't spot his drift, but never mind for now. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The tables would have been turned. You would have said to him, though you're a woman and though you're a Samaritan, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. She's fascinated. Sir, you've nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. How have you got living water? Now, in a sense, a stream with living water is distinct from a well which came up from the ground. But of course, Jesus is talking about spiritual nourishment, spiritual water, the water of life. Sir, thou hast nothing to drink with, draw with, the well is deep. How hast thou got living water? Are you greater than Jacob? Now, this is an astute comment. She has this feeling that he is, but she doesn't know how to express it or quite what it signifies. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? The answer is yes. But he doesn't put it in so many words. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, this is salvation, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, but springing up into everlasting life. Now, the next few moments, we're going to see the worst side of this woman, but it doesn't put Christ off. First of all, first thing that's not altogether right. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She wants to get out of this business of coming every day to draw water. Now, if Jesus can do that for her, that'd be lovely. Because it's not what Jesus meant. She asked that she could have the water, but she doesn't understand what she asked for. To her, it is just so that she doesn't have to come every day and draw water. But does Jesus tell her off? Does Jesus dismiss her? Does Jesus reject her? No. And then he introduces something quite new, which introduces to her the fact that he is more than a prophet, though she says he's a prophet because he knows all things. Jesus says, of course, you want to share this, don't you? Go and get your husband. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant way of handling people. You want to share it, don't you? Go get your husband. To which she, evading the point, and not willing to tell the truth, simply says, I have no husband. Now, it's meant to end the subject, isn't it? Sometimes you go on the doors and people say things that mean you not to say any more, that close the subject, close the issue. That's what she's doing here. If I say I have no husband, Jesus won't need to send me away to go and get him, and I can have this water, you see? The woman answered and said unto her, I have no husband. Now this is brilliant. What would you have said? Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband, it's a partner. In that sits thou truly. Well, she wasn't really speaking the truth, but she was trying to put Jesus off. But Jesus brings the best out of her by putting what seems to her to be the best interpretation on it. That actually, though she was trying to evade the issue, the Lord himself acknowledged what had happened and still didn't reject her. Handled this situation wonderfully. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. What would you have said? You'd have said, I know what you'd have said. No, what I would have said. I wouldn't have said, thou hast well said, thou hast no husband. I would have said, you're a liar. But Jesus didn't say that. He didn't even go about it that way. He gives no evidence that he thought that way. Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And if it isn't bad enough, he whom thou hast now is not thy husband, just a partner. In that saidst thou truly. Now that's won her confidence. But she's still not quite ready. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now she knew about the Messiah. That was still a remnant of her teaching. But she only concedes that Jesus is a prophet. And she says to him, she introduces a new subject. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye, the Jews, say that you've got to be in Jerusalem. Because that's the place where men ought to worship. And now Jesus gets the point. First of all, woman, believe me. The hour comes when you won't need this mountain nor Jerusalem to worship the Father. Believe me, the hour cometh. And he builds on that. Ye worship, ye know not what. We do know what we worship. We're consistent, but you don't know. But the hour is coming. And now is. It's because he was the Messiah. It's because she had an opportunity. It was all now. Importance of now. But the hour cometh. And now is. When the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Not in Samaria, specifically. Not in Jerusalem, specifically. But from their hearts, in spirit and in truth, through Christ. Then he gives a bit more. He says, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, from their hearts and in the way that God has appointed. Here comes one of the best moments, I think, in the whole of Jesus' ministry. The woman saith, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. Greek. When he is come, he'll tell us these things. And what's she doing? I'm not prepared to believe you exactly and leave behind my old traditions. And I think these are the sort of things the Messiah will say when he comes, but I'm going to wait for that day. I don't know of any other occasion when Jesus is so intimate and so forthright. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He did things that made other people believe he was the Messiah, but here he actually says, to the Samaritan woman at the well, a despised woman, who says that one day the Messiah will tell her the truth, all the truth. And he says to a Samaritan woman, I that speak unto thee am he. To put it in modern English, she'd taken to him. She'd listened amazed at what he said. Was amazed at what he knew about her. Didn't know what to make of him entirely, but could see that he was a prophet. And Jesus indicates that he is the only saviour. She knows it, because she goes away and tells the others. But that moment, even the disciples weren't there to witness. It was extremely private between her and the woman. Except that we have it. I that speak unto thee am he. The Holy Spirit, all these years after, still gives us that personal instruction. We know when we're convicted that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus speaking to our hearts is the Messiah, that it's true. And therefore we may trust him. Therefore we may believe in him and love him. Well, there's a lot here that I didn't want to deal with in detail, but this is a moment of supreme revelation. Got there by supreme skill, handling her with extreme gentleness, putting the best construction on her life that possibly could be good. If you could ever speak of anyone being won over by love, this is it. And may we, by our lives, by our words, commend the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the most appropriate way that we can in our situation, but learn of the Lord Jesus how to handle people. Amen. And we sing the hymn number